Chapter 30. Nath jerked away. A claw snapped down on his arm with the power of an iron trap. A dragon had a hold of him. Nath drew his free arm back and socked it in the ribs. The dragon shook him like a rag, slamming his head into the stone. Bright spots of light burst in his eyes, and blood trickled down his scalp, over his nose. He eyed the creature.
A spiny-backed crawler, cripes!
Half the size of Nath, its burgeoning abdomen dragged over the stone as it tried to sling him back and forth. With a neck thick as a tree trunk, its snout was long and wide. It had four short legs with six claws each, and its sandstone-colored wings were clawed as well. More like a lizard, no horns adorned its wide, flat head. Rows of small spikes covered its back, which looked glassy in the sunlight.
"Let go!"
Nath said, punching it again. It shook him like a dog tearing away a bone. Eyes watering, Nath held back his cry and drew back his fist once more. The spiny back's eyes followed the move. Jaws locked, its thin lips curled over its sharp teeth. It rumbled a growl.
Great dragons!
Spiny-backed crawlers, a smallish breed, tended to hide along riverbanks and dry stretches of land. They liked to dig and tunnel. Patient, they'd wait for their prey from beneath the grit and strike quicker than a flying arrow. Once their jaws locked, there was no unlocking them unless their prey killed them. Nath tried to dash the sweat out of his eyes by blinking. He shook his head, looked deep into the dragon's eyes, and spoke dragonese to it.
"Release me!"
The dragon bit down harder. Nath's tongue clove to the roof of his mouth. The dragon was moments away from taking his arm off at the elbow. Spinyback's teeth were some of the hardest and sharpest of them all. They could bite through steel with them.
Think, Nath Dragon. Think.
The dragon shook its thick neck again. Nath heard Fang rattle on his back. With his good arm, he reached back and slipped Dragon Claw out of the hilt. He waved the glimmering blade in front of the dragon's watching eyes.
"Don't make me use this,"
he said in dragonese. If he had to kill a dragon to save Bezog, then so be it. Blood racing, he drew Dragon Claw back.
"I'll do what I must do."
Its jaws bit deeper. Nath groaned, brought the dagger down and stopped inches from its back. He eyed its wings. One dangled on its side, broken. The other, hemmed into its side, was fine. It fluttered a bit and stopped. Nath jabbed Dragon Claw into the rock.
"Your eyes, tail, and wings,"
he said, swallowing.
"They aren't darkened."
He reached over and stroked its broken wing. The dragon jerked a little. Nath sucked through his teeth and said in more dragonese,
"Easy, friend."
He inspected the wing more. It had been gnawed up, and the joint between the wing and back was broken. It would take a long time to heal. Flying dragons without their wings were not only vulnerable, but insecure as well. Ignoring the pain exploding in his head, he stroked the dragon over the eyes.
"Who did this to you?"
The scaly brows on the dragon lifted up toward the city in the sky.
"I see,"
Nath said, looking up and around, not forgetting the hornets and dragons were still in chase.
"Oh, great."
He took a seat on his rump with the dragon attached to his forearm. It seemed that along with its injury, the spiny back had received new orders. Another dragon must have flown down and ordered it to guard the pass over the rock with its life. Nath stroked its eyes again. A blast of smoke came from its nostrils.
"Despite your effort to detach my arm from my elbow, I do consider this good fortune. Your bite is far less revealing than your lack of roar. If you'd roared, dragons certainly would have swarmed me."
The spiny-backed dragon's eyes remained intent on his, fierce and unblinking.
"All right, Nath Dragon, there's no time for this. All those dragons will return soon enough.
What options do you have?
He eyed Dragonclaw.
If I must, I must.
He peered over the rock. He could always plunge into the river waters below and hope to shake the dragon off. Perhaps then it would let go.
That's your stupidest idea ever, Nathdragon.
Great, now I'm talking to myself.
At the moment, he was at the mercy of the dragon. He wasn't going anywhere. He closed his eyes and sighed. Suddenly, he heard his father's voice, speaking, inside his head.
Sometimes compassion can be a friend to your enemies.
His head snapped up.
Father?
He searched the skies, the clouds. Only the wind howling through the rocks answered. He looked at the dragon and said,
Did you hear that?
The dragon didn't move. Nath had chills on his neck, and it felt like the scales on his arms stood up. As much as he had dreaded his father's throne-shaking voice in the past, he longed for it now.
Perhaps I'm recalling something I've long forgotten.
He patted the dragon, rubbed the scales around its neck in the tender spots they enjoyed. Even dragons had places they couldn't scratch that itched. He heard a growl and stopped.
Was that your belly?
The heavy belly rumbled and groaned.
My, you've been up here a while. Years, perhaps, judging by that moan.
Nath's brows buckled. A fire ignited inside and drowned out the piercing pain in his arm.
Whoever did this is a cruel master.
He thought of the poachers, the hunt, the chase. For more than 100 years, he had protected the dragons, freed them from bondage, freed them from chains. He felt ashamed. He'd lost sight of that somehow in the greater scheme of things.
You know where you belong?
It didn't answer.
Dragon home,
he said, but in Dragonese. A lengthy and exotic name that had more bends than a river and syllables only heard in dreams. A wink of golden light zipped high overhead. The sleek silhouette of a dragon streaked right behind it. Nath's fingertips tingled. The chase of the golden hornets was almost over.
Please, let me go,
he urged. The dragon's eyes were stone cold.
Moving a mountain would be easier. Great dragons.
He looked at the next floating stone he needed to leap upon along his path to the floating city. It didn't look so bad. Perhaps this was the breaking point. The place no other had ever gotten past.
Fine, then,
Nath said to the dragon. With his good arm, he scooped up the spiny-backed dragon and pulled him to his chest. The dragon remained still as a steel trap. It was awkward, like carrying a big scaly dog.
Get! I'm strong. You must weigh over 200 pounds.
He eyed the next rock. Floating 15 feet away and 5 up, Nath gathered his legs underneath him and leaped. A second later, he landed and slid on the stone. The rock teetered. Nath flailed his good arm for balance and righted himself.
I have this now, I think.
He made the next leap. 3, 5, 10 more. Bounded from stone to stone like a black-scaled frog. The floating city greeted him. Stark and vast. A mountain in the air. Nath felt small.
It's much bigger up close.
Across one more chasm, a set of stairs was carved into the great rock leading up into the city.
So this is a pathway after all.
He judged the distance between him and the narrow steps on the other side. It was farther than it had looked from below. Every bit of 30 feet, with the dragon latched onto his arm.
This wouldn't be hard if you just let go,
he said to the dragon. Its eyes were closed.
Enjoying the ride, are we?
A chorus of roars echoed above in the towers of the city. The dragons were coming back from the chase. His mind raced, arguing with itself.
You have to do this, dragon. You have to, but how? It's too far. This blasted dragon is too heavy. Bezok's gonna die if you don't get moving. What choice do I have? I've done my best.
He slipped Dragonclaw out of its belt where he tucked it in earlier. The dragon's eye popped open.